Today is a good day. Andrew, there is college football today, and College Football 134 is going live right now to get everybody ready for the day's actions. Covers would have it no other way. I am Douglas Farmer. He is Andrew Cayley. How are you today, Andrew?
I'm legitimately giddy. Like, I'm so happy that we're here doing this, even though it's with you. But I thought I'd start early with that banter, so... I'm just so excited that we get to talk and bet on college football today. It's a good day. It's a good day.
The only downside today is there are just four games. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Four is better than three. Three is better than zero. But we have just four games, only two of which are FBS versus FBS. None of the games have a spread within single digits. So even two college football nuts like you and me, we could fill the show with just those games. We shouldn't. We could. We absolutely could just talk about Montana State for half an hour.
Delaware State, man.
You and I might have already done 5 minutes ourselves on Delaware State. We will leave that for mostly off air because talking too much about the Hornets gets a little awkward. But yep. Instead, let's spend some time on the college football playoff, maybe make a couple of national championship picks. This is the year where it's going to dictate more conversation than ever, as frustrating as that can often be. You and I would rather talk about conference futures on UNLV and Jacksonville State, but college football playoff drives the search engine optimization, makes the corporate overlords happy. What are you thinking? How do you feel about the 12-team playoff coming up?
I'm really excited about it. People think we're going to eliminate the conversation. We're like, oh, someone deserves to be in and they weren't in. That's just going to be bumped down the list. It's not going to go anywhere. That conversation is going to stay the same. So college football will be happy that people will talk about it. It will keep more teams involved, obviously, which generates more interest, which is good for people like you and I who talk about college football. So there's nothing wrong with that in my eyes. And more, I've spent the many years doing bowl videos for 40 bowls, 42 bowls a season, where 90% of those bowls are not important, irrelevant whatsoever. And the more relevant football that we can get come January and December is great in my book. So I'm really looking forward to the expanded playoff.
Before we start rattling off teams, before we start looking at playoff odds, I should remind the world, like, subscribe to the video, rate, review the podcast. Corporate overlords insist this is vital. Personally, I would rather have people jumping in the live chat with their playoff thoughts, their title picks. We look at FanDuel, for example. There are eight teams that have odds on chances of making the playoff. It's kind of absurd that it's eight. I think that's a high number, but those eight really stick. And you look at them, what pops about those eight teams ahead of the others?
Well, the one team that stuck to me was Mississippi. To be an odds-on favorite to make the playoffs is, like, I really respect what Lane Kiffin has done there. He's obviously a transfer portal monster. Everyone's saying that if there is going to be a year for Mississippi and the Rebels, it's this year, with kind of some of the SEC, mainly Alabama, coming back down a little bit. But I just, they're a team that has had expectations in the past, and they've kind of failed on those expectations in almost every instance. So Mississippi is going to be a team for me that I'm going to need to see it from them before I actually believe it. So before I am wagering money on them at juice like that, I'm not going to be advising people to put money down on Mississippi in this spot. They have a soft schedule that's in their favor. But I think it might even be so soft that if they don't get a signature win, like, they might need 11 wins to get into the playoff. Like, if they're 10-2 and they don't have them, they lost to both Georgia and Oklahoma, say, I think they go to LSU too. Like, that's not a gimme. Like, 10-2 might not be good enough considering some of the teams that could be really good. And there's a lot of really good teams in the SEC this year, and it might not be good enough. So Mississippi at that price is just a little odd to me.
You know, Circa Sports does us all a favor and offers a no market on this, which creates more fair prices. Credit to them for doing that. I see that at +125, Mississippi to miss the playoff at Circa Sports. For you, is that something you would actually bet, or is that just something you'd be curious about?
I bet it. I'd bet it at plus money like that. I enjoy that. Also seeing here from Jared Hockman, I wonder who he is. But thoughts on SMU to make the playoffs was plus 13.75, now 10-1. I have some thoughts on it. I know you do too, so we can discuss that.
Was on with our friends at BetQL last night, and SMU came up, and there's two different conversations with SMU. One, you've got to give them credit for the success they're going to have. We don't need to make this playoff or bust in their first year of the ACC. They brought in offensive and defensive line transfers to have a more ACC quality interior. It is not an ACC contention quality interior, in my estimation. So this buzz about SMU, maybe an ACC contender, I need to dismiss it. I think they're a very good team for the leap they're making, but that does not mean they're going to keep up with Clemson, Florida State, and yes, Miami.
I agree with you on that one. I made a lot of money with SMU last year. That defense is one of my, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit here, but that defense is really, really good, but they beat up on a lot of bad American Conference teams last year. So there is some elevated numbers, I would say, from last season. And it is a step, it is the ACC, but it's still a step up in competition for them. I think they'll be good. I think they'll probably have four losses this year, I think is a good number. And it just, with some of the teams, like I think Clemson's on the rise. I think Florida State is still going to be very good in the ACC. Virginia Tech is a team you got to look at too. And there's just, it's going to be really competitive, a really tough spot for SMU. So I don't love that price, and I'd probably avoid them to make the playoff.
Our friend John Mettler is asking, which top team could you see not making it? I'm in agreement with you for the most part on Mississippi. I put out a bracket a few weeks back, and of those eight teams with odds on favorite, odds on to make the playoff, the one team I left out was Mississippi. Unless your talent is clearly a cut above, like Alabama and Texas, I feel having Georgia on your schedule in the SEC just removes any margin of error. Like you said, the schedule is, it's challenging enough they're going to take a loss, but it's not challenging enough where they're going to pick up the needed wins. You got Georgia at LSU versus Oklahoma, and sure, at Florida. Is beating Oklahoma and Florida at 10-2 going to be enough to impress people when there are all these other teams with two losses? That's where I think people are giving Mississippi a bit too much credit. That said, I can't take your bet. You beat me to it. Look, I think Notre Dame is going to make the playoff. One of my ACC preview best bets was Notre Dame into the playoff at neg 160. But I also said don't bet it yet. Notre Dame is +2.5 in week one at Texas A&M, +3 at least at BetMGM. Notre Dame's offensive line is not set. Preseason injury has made it so that Anthony Knapp is looking like the third freshman all time to start a season opener on Notre Dame's offensive line. It's not a bad thing. Maybe he's really good.
It's not
a great thing. It's just likely to be a problem. At Kyle Field, the excitement of a new coach, a defensive coach in that, Mike Elko with some tools on the defensive line. Offensive lines often need September to firm up communication. This is a bad scenario for Notre Dame. So if A&M wins that, Notre Dame's playoff odds then jump to probably plus money, plus 100, plus 110, plus 120, because you've lost to one of those teams you're competing with to get into the playoff. So right now, I would consider betting Notre Dame at plus 150 at circa to miss the playoff. And then in a week, well, 8 days, grab those plus money odds, however that game goes, if Notre Dame loses, so that then no matter how Notre Dame season goes, you've got a plus money bet.
Yeah, I don't think enough people are talking about Texas A&M at this point either. Obviously, we'll talk about them next week probably, but it's a team. I think Mike Elko said that he's going to cut down the playbook from, like, what did he say? Like 1,500 plays to like 50?
And Jimbo numbers.
And it's just, he's going to let that talent speak for itself. Like, the one thing Jimbo did do is recruit well at A&M, and a lot of those players are still there. Not enough people talking about the Aggies heading into this season.
But enough about who won't make the playoff. Andrew, start us off. Do you have a make the playoff bet?
I looked hard at Michigan plus 150. I think that's another team that's being overlooked right now. Obviously, they lost a lot of starters, but they return a lot of talent. Alex Orji, I think, is going to be a very good player. I think it's a very dependent on if he's a very good player or not, whether or not they make the playoff. They have a very, very tough schedule. The Big Ten is going to be a gauntlet this year. So I think they're getting a little disrespected. But the one I liked even more, we talked about this a little off-air, Tennessee. Plus 195 at FanDuel. I'm all in on Nico. In my SEC preview, I bet Tennessee to win the SEC championship. It was a value play at 16-1. I think Georgia's the best team in the conference. I think they're probably the best team in the country. And I will not be shocked if they win the national championship this year. But for value alone this year, I really, really like what Tennessee has going. Obviously, Nico has got to be that guy. But they've got a very strong offensive line. They've got James Pierce and a very strong defensive line, which I like when considering title contenders. I like teams that are really good in the trenches. If Nico is him, I think they could rival that season that Tennessee had with Hendon Hooker a couple of years when they went 11-2 and they beat Alabama. And it's, I think that's very much on the table if things kind of fall together. They've got a very easy schedule as well. I know they play Alabama and Georgia, but I think things otherwise are very manageable for them, and I can really see them get into the SEC title game.
I'm not betting that, but I am hoping for it, because when Tennessee is good, college football is more entertaining. The SEC is more engaging. It's not just Alabama and Georgia. So I'm hoping. I am hoping that one pans out. I'm taking another route to more entertaining
college football. Never say that about my bets.
I once every once in a while, I got to keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
I'm going to look at just a small school that – has never gone on the road in September against a national title contender and sprung an upset. Yes, I'm talking about Appalachian State going to Clemson this September. Maybe they don't get the win, but I can hope. That's the type of scenario you need if you're betting a Group of Five team to make the playoff. Now, earlier this summer, I was on Before You Bet with our friend and colleague, John Mettler, and somewhere he is sitting grinning right now because of that show, he got App State to make the playoff at 16-1. I was shocked this morning to see it fell as low as 9-1 at most books. Ooh. It is now back up to 14-1 at FanDuel. I am taking that today gladly. Appalachian State returns 15 of the 21 defenders last season at 200-plus snaps, returns 9 starting defenders, returns most of its offensive skill. And when I say most of its offensive skill, I mean quarterback Joey Aguilar and his top 6 receivers from an offense that became more pass-focused last season. Are they going to beat Clemson in Week 2? Probably not. Be competitive. Beat Liberty on September 29th. You've got a 9-day week beforehand. Win that. It's a resume win, and you knock Liberty out of this conversation. The Sun Belt is year-to-year the best Group of Five conference for my money. It's kind of a down year for it, which sets up Appalachian State to run the table. Teams like Boise State, 4-1 in this conversation to make the playoff, doesn't have that luxury. Memphis, well, you know who else is in the top 5 or 6 of these odds? Tulane and UTSA. Memphis is going to have a hard time getting out of the AAC. They all are. Somehow Texas State is at 12-1 to make the playoff. Texas State, you know, plus 360 to win the Sun Belt, where Appalachian State is plus 270. I don't quite understand how Texas State has notably better odds to make the playoff.
Is that just the worse odds to... effect? Is that it? Is that just because they got Jordan McLeod?
I don't understand it. I should go look at the no bets on this. But that Appalachian State to make the playoff today, 14-1. I didn't think I'd see it north of 11-1 again. So I'm thrilled right now.
Well, I'm going to battle you on that, because I'm going to take Memphis to make the college football playoff at plus 550.
Rooting for your Tennessee, and this is how
But there's no real consensus, I'd say, for the Group of Five teams this year. Like you mentioned it, like the AAC is tough this year, but no SMU. I think Tulane takes a step back. Like losing their quarterback is a big, like their quarterback was a very important piece to that team. So I think they have that. And then we've got the thing with Memphis. They have a lot of returning talent. I think it's 17 starters back this season, including the unicorn that is a fourth-year starting quarterback in Seth Hennigan. Hennigan has his flaws, obviously. We know this. But he is a pretty good college quarterback who's put up a lot of numbers in his time at Memphis. They're playing behind what I would say is the best offensive line in the American. He gets 4 of his top 6 pass catchers back this year as well. Obviously, they visit Tulane at the end of the season, and that is going to be a big game. But I like Memphis this year, so I'm riding with Memphis at plus 550 to make the playoff.
Boy, you're both your bets there, Memphis and Tennessee. Just gonna move south and enjoy the Volunteer State.
I love Tennessee. I've been to Nashville. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I could definitely see myself just hunkering down there and enjoying the life.
All right, I'll match it with one more make the playoff bet. It's one of my more conservative moves. because Utah is plus 320 to win the Big 12 at DraftKings. Utah is plus 210 to make the playoff. I'm going to take that plus 210. It effectively allows for an additional loss, most likely at UCF to end the year or the Big 12 title game. It sets them up for that kind of cushion. You're looking at this team. Everybody knows the defense. It's Utah. It's Kyle Whittingham. Phil Steele projects this to be the number one rush defense. Eight defensive starters return. Like, it's going to be a good defense. But I'm buying in because of the offense. We forget Cam Rising was a good quarterback. He was injured. He didn't die. He was injured. Brent Cuthy would have been their number one tight end. And, oh, no, they had another All-American. That's Utah. They added speedster Dorian Singer. Utah is a full team, best home field advantage in the country. I'm going to take Utah plus 210 to make the playoff, and I'm going to enjoy it.
So I'm like trying to contain myself here because we have our little show notes and I kept this section blank for you because it says here we roll into national championship picks.
And yeah, and only one person it covers has picked the national champion last season. It wasn't you. I am, in fact, in a 3-year run of making only one title future and it paying out. Are you going to challenge my run here?
I'm going to try, but I'm going to take the Utah Utes to win the national title at 66-1.
Did you say Utah?
Utah, the Utah Utes. Kyle Whittingham's Utah Utes to win the national championship at 66-1.
That's a choice.
It's doing it for a sec. I want to see your face.
That's a choice. I'm very high on Utah. You are you're on top of the Tequila Mountains. Yeah, you're okay. Hey, tell me more.
It's that thin air there in the Rockies, but I wrote at Coverage and Over Covers. I wrote the Big 12 conference preview this year. It is probably the craziest conference, the most competitive conference in college football this year. So why am I picking a Big 12 team to do it? Because I think Utah is clearly a cut above every other team in the Big 12. Every Big 12 team has some sort of flaw. Even Kansas State, like I love Avery Johnson, getting a lot of hype this year. Guy completed 56% of his passes last year. I think he still has some work to develop as a passer. I think Kansas State will be very good still, but Utah is the most complete team from top to bottom. You mentioned it. I think 15 starters back. I love Cam Rising. They're great in the trenches. Well coached with Kyle Whittingham. I can really see them going 11-1 and winning the Big 12 and earning. So that's the other thing. They win the Big 12. They go 11-1. Say they earn a bye to the quarterfinals. And they're the only team, I think, that is in that bye range that is at this price. There's no other team that can earn that bye and is in this price with – you can counter it with the – yeah, they could lose to Kansas State, and Kansas State's kind of in that range too.
No, I like that logic. I hadn't thought of it in that way of who else could get the off week, the buy into the quarterfinals. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I just – teams that could advance – well, like they could get a week off, and then you only have to win a couple games to get to the national title game. And I, like I said, I really like it. They've proven they can – beat big team. Like they've beaten Caleb Williams for a Pac-12 championship. They've beaten Oregon for a Pac-12 championship with Cam Rising. Like they know how to win. They've got what it takes. Like that defense is going to be really, really good. Particularly the Big 12 has kind of shifted. We used to think of the Big 12 as this conference that didn't play defense and just hucked the ball over the place, but it's really turned. There's a lot of running teams, like running base teams in the Big 12 now. And having a front seven like Utah has will really be to their benefit. So Utah, my pick to win the national championship.
I admire the ambition. I am, again, always here for the entertainment of a different team winning, of a more entertaining football season. But I'm going to go ahead and put my 3-year streak on the line and not take Utah.
I figured.
I will be my national title pick, or my money will be, Ohio State at 4-1, still available at 4-1 at FanDuel. And as much as Ohio State has been churning out these receivers, and they brought in transfer quarterback Will Howard from Kansas State, creating that opportunity for Avery Johnson, for me, it's the defense. They've got two preseason All-Americans in Caleb Downs and T.D. Williams, a second-team All-American in cornerback Denzel Burke. And we haven't even mentioned defensive ends Jack Sawyer and JTT. They both would have been draft picks this past April, if not for NIL, not first rounders. I don't know. I'm not a draft expert, but third or fourth rounders. They'd be in the NFL right now. Instead, the NIL made it worthwhile to return for one more year. So Ohio State is returning 9 defensive starters and adding All-American Caleb Downs. And oh no, they're 11 starters. Senior middle linebacker Cody Simon, who's been in the program for half a decade. This is, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. This is 2021 Georgia-esque. And their stats will look that way because the schedule has only 2 offenses in the top 40 of SP+, Oregon and Penn State. So 10 of those games, Ohio State's just going to wallop people with the defense. The offense has time to find its rhythm. They get to tune up at Michigan State before Iowa, before Oregon. It's kind of a nice crescendo. This September is Michigan-esque in that they don't play anybody of note. So these receivers and running backs are stars. Will Howard has time, and he doesn't need to force it. He can be the heralded chef taking the plates from the rest of the kitchen, sending it out to the dining room in his name. That is the all Will Howard has to do is manage the kitchen and make life look that good. They have a 90% blue chip ratio. This is a full team. This is a defensive roster that deserves more praise, and it's already considered the number one defense in the country.
And you didn't, sorry, you didn't even mention, I don't think you mentioned it. Like they're going to run the football. This has been a
Chip Kelly.
This has been a wide receiver factory for the past 5 seasons, it feels like. But with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, they are going to run that football a lot, which will match them up well with Penn State. It'll match them up well with Michigan. But it's Will Howard for me. I'm a little tentative on Will Howard. So
he doesn't need to do it. He like you said, Chip Kelly is going to put him in positions of success.
Yes, but I still think those games at Penn State and Michigan are going to be tough. So can he be the guy that gets it done in this crazy, crazy conference in this huge atmosphere? So we'll see. I like, obviously they're up there with Georgia in terms of talent. So.
So, and that's enough about the future. There is college football today. Before we get to it, I should again remind the world, like, subscribe, the live show, rate College Football 134 in your podcast apps. But again, more importantly, I'm interested in your week 0 plays showing up in the chat because we have college football today. Yes. Now, on Tuesday, you gave out Nevada team total under 14.5 against SMU, but you also hinted at some Georgia Tech prop thoughts as we start the day in Dublin. Just in a few hours from now, it'll be 5 o'clock local in Dublin at Kick. Lovely day for a Guinness. What are you looking at for Florida State, Georgia Tech across the ocean?
So very quickly, Florida State -10 right now with a total of 55 I'm seeing. We've started, was this the fourth straight year we've started or third straight year we've started in Dublin?
At least the third.
Yeah, it's a really interesting matchup. I think what I was looking at initially here were some player props because for these week 0 lines, they've been up forever, right? So we've obviously lost a ton of value. Please watch everything we do prior in the week and read what we write. It's all out there. So I want to get you guys some stuff for today. I even something I had for today is already gone. I was looking at some player props, and I liked Haynes King to go over his rushing yard total of 41.5. He's a scrambling quarterback, or Georgia Tech uses him as an option quarterback. He rushed for over 700 yards last year. He went over 41.5 yards, I think, 7 times in their 11 regular season games. And so he's obviously going to have some designed runs in this game, but he's also going to be running for his life because Florida State has 2 of the scariest defensive ends in the country. And I think he's going to be forced to rush sometimes, but now that number is 45.5. So I'm going to transition here kind of on the fly. We're going to go Lawrence Toyofili to go over 40.5 rushing yards, kind of the same principle here. It's going to be a kind of a cold day in Ireland. That field is always kind of a little sloppy. I think that Mike Norvell with DJ as his quarterback now, I think they're going to lean heavily on the run in this game. And at 40.5, that's a really easy number that Toyofili can go over in this one. He's a very talented back. He's going to split carries in this one, but I think that number's low enough that I think it's a good one to attack. So over 40.5 rushing yards for Toyofili. And in that same sense, I'm going DJ under his passing yards total of 235.5, coming off a good season at Oregon State, but he still threw for just like 220 yards per game last season. And like I said, I think that he's going to be used more as a runner this year, particularly once you get closer to the goal line. I know you've talked about that a bit as well. I think that you have him to score an anytime touchdown. I hope I didn't step on your toes there, but I really see them really focusing on rushing the football and leaning on that great offensive line that they have at Florida State as well. So I think the passing numbers could be down a bit in this game. Georgia Tech, too, one of the worst rush defenses in college football last season, too. So that's a big problem for them. So I could just see them running all over the Yellow Jackets in this one. So under 235.5 passing yards for
you said
Galilei.
And it made me worry. But I'm looking at the weather. 50s, below 60s. Wind 10 to 15 miles an hour. They'll have a good time. They'll put a few more pints in the beer jacket. And that's why I'm sticking with an over on that game. I'm looking at over 55.5. I stick with the offenses. Like you said, Georgia Tech, bad rush defense. Florida State needs to run the ball to make DJU feel better. Feel more confident. And that will help Mike Norvell, already one of the best play callers in the country. Add into that that Georgia Tech is made by its offense. That is why there's hype on this game. That is why there's hype on Georgia Tech this season. Prolific players like Haynes King, who, again, you wanted the over. You're probably not even terrified of that 45.5. These things add up to me thinking this game is going to be almost entirely offense. As long as I'm getting that under 56, I'm sticking with it. 55.5. We're going to have at least some entertainment to start the season.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. So next up on the schedule, I believe, is
Montana State at New Mexico.
On
Tuesday, I advised Montana State neg 11. And this is why you bet early in the week. I don't always wait until Saturday morning. Our Tuesday show is more important. It should be the priority because Montana State neg 11 on Tuesday is now 13.5.
I think someone mentioned on Twitter to you yesterday. I saw your Twitter feed, and someone was like, "Can you remember the last time an FCS team was favored by double digits against an FBS school?" And the numbers were not.
I have seen that it was. I'm forgetting who the FCS team was. Idaho in the OOs somewhere was still in the FBS, and Idaho was a 2-touchdown underdog. Aside from that, we believe this to be the largest spread of an FCS over an FBS in history.
Crazy.
I'm staying away from 13.5 because I'm expecting a low scoring game. I'm expecting Montana State to run the ball down New Mexico's throat. On Tuesday, Parker, our good friend Parker Fleming, brought up, yeah, Montana State, it's all running. They averaged more than 7.6 yards per carry last season. It's going to shorten the game. I can see this being 23-10 and it won't be that close. So I'm playing an under. I'm sticking with the under. Under 54.5, I liked it more earlier in the week, obviously, when I got it a little bit higher. But this is life. This is what happens on Saturday mornings. 54.5 is still far too high.
I would even, if you can find it, I'm not seeing it at a couple of my books here, but under first half, I would like that quite a bit as well.
If you give me a moment, I will quickly scroll. You can get 27.5 at both FanDuel and DraftKings, as well as Caesars. 27.5, you're asking for 4 successful possessions. That is because the only success should come from Montana State. New Mexico is not returning its offense.
No,
I'm not really exaggerating. New Mexico's not returning anything.
Was 1.5.
it's that. You're asking for Montana State to have 4 successful rushing drives, which is possible, but that's a bit of an ask.
Yes.
100%. And then, Andrew, we should move. We should keep moving. We are pushing up on the half-hour mark. People want to go get breakfast before Dublin kickoff at noon Eastern, 5 p.m. Dublin time. What are you looking at in SMU, Nevada?
SMU, Nevada. Line right now looking at 27. With a total of 55.5. So this is another one we talked. I bet SMU minus 21, which I think was 3 points higher than the opener of 18.5 or something like that several weeks ago. And then there was a quick jump to 24.5 and then 27.5. But then there's been some disagreement, obviously, because then it jumped back down to 20. I saw 24.5 2 days ago, and now it's jumped back up to 27. So there seems to be some disagreement in what the sharps think. There is so they, there's obviously they think there's some value in Nevada at this plus 27 and SMU around 24. I think that SMU is a much better football team. Obviously, they have a very good chance to cover this spread. They are going to be a very strong team in the ACC this year. They're a team that can make that transition really well. But I just at this high number, I'm just not going to recommend the 27 at this point. So I'm looking elsewhere. They also have a good backup in Kevin Jennings. So I think that there could be offense all game long. So maybe a team total for SMU in this one. But I'm looking at another prop here. So I'm going to go Jalen Knighton over his rushing total of 64.5. He's an explosive back. They're another team that runs two backs. And so he'll probably split his carries in this one. But Nevada, a very bad rushing team, rushing defense team as well last season. They allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game in terms of yards per carry last year. And I think the rushing, despite who's in at quarterback, is going to be a part of their game plan in this matchup anyway. So I like him over his rushing total here today.
That is a spot where you can take advantage of them likely playing two quarterbacks. That makes a lot of sense. And it's you're basing that off what we discussed on Tuesday. Rhett Lashley said very plainly he expected Jennings to play. And that kind of phrasing this time of year makes it sound like he wants the backup quarterback to get in two or three real drives. If folks remember, SMU's season ended with two losses because Jennings was not all the way up to speed. He played respectably. He played admirably, but he was not anywhere near Preston Stone. Correct. He wasn't good enough because they didn't get him enough reps earlier in the season. So Rhett Lashley's trying to learn from that and be more proactive today, it seems like. And that's why, there's value in running the offense with a running back. This makes a lot of sense in tandem with that knowledge.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on that?
I am staying away from that game for the most part. One game I can't stay away from is Delaware State at Hawaii. What a college football game. Dover to Honolulu. The NFL could never include every corner of the country like this. It is far too sterile. Here, we're willing to bring a team, have them miss their flight in Delaware, and still get them out to Hawaii for a midnight Eastern game on the first night of college football. This is what we're here for. You can still get 39.5. Hawaii favored by 39.5 at FanDuel. Other places have moved to 40 or 40.5. These aren't even football numbers anymore. Like 38, 42, football numbers. 39 and 40, whatever. I am sticking with Hawaii. I know it sounds absurd, but the fact of the matter is Hawaii is that much better than Delaware State. Folks, everyone is playing on Delaware State.
Yes, we talk up the FCS.
We talk up the top of the SCS.
Correct.
Delaware State last year lost 35-7 to South Carolina State. Delaware State last year lost 17-10 to Howard. We've got Jared hopping the chat. How high would you outline this?
Good question.
I have an answer to that. I would not outline it. I would play Hawaii to cover the spread in a same game parlay with the under. You're taking a 40-point spread with an under 56. It's a thin needle to thread, but those two combined create an aggressive payout on a same-game parlay, and it's because I'm betting Delaware State's not going to score. Before the show, you and I were riffing on this. I think it was FanDuel we saw 4-1 for a shutout. Like, this is what Delaware State is, and like, all due respect to them, I'm sure they're having a great time in Hawaii. But Hawaii's going to want to run up the score. Not run up the score, but Timmy Chang needs to get the go-go offense.
Apparently, they run had and shoot trouble offense getting
into,
there.
Say that again?
Apparently, they had trouble getting to
they
Hawaii.
They missed their flight. They missed their flight.
They lost. They were supposed to have an extra day to acclimatize to the time zone, so they're down an extra day to prepare.
It's not great. It's not great. While Hawaii's going to want their offense to work on its timing. Their worries are offensive line. That's not going to matter against Delaware State. So they're going to give their quarterback and receivers opportunities to work on timing so that they look that much better in Mountain West play. I am all over Hawaii 39.5. I have played that same game parlay trying to thread that needle because they come together and create a nice payout. I'm going to stay up until I live in the Central Time Zone, 2:30 in the morning on the first week of college football because that's what we're here for.
If Jared wants an answer, Jared, 50 Is that still
hits my thread.
Yeah, exactly. I think 50 is the number that sticks out in my head. So there you go, Jared. And I'll stay up with you too. I've got a Hawaii dynasty on my EA NCAA 25. So I'll play Hawaii and hopefully inspire them to play well. At the same time, we can sweat some bets. And I really want some team totals here, but I don't think we're going to get them. So I would love to have a Hawaii team total over here. I think
over 40.5 is the number I wrote up.
I've seen some clips too of guys being like, they're dedicating this season to Cole Brennan, and they're like super, super like motivated, like Hawaii by a million. Go Rainbow Warriors.
On that note, because we're not going to do better than Hawaii by a million, put it on a t-shirt. That should do it, Andrew. Our first live show in the books. Yes, I said first. We'll be back each Saturday morning in addition to our midweek show on all your podcast platforms, in addition to all our writing at covers.com, in addition to my yelling at Twitter, D_Farmer, and yelling at you on Twitter at covers_Kaylee. Thanks for getting up early with me, Andrew. Thank you to producer Brady for getting up early with us. Hope you're all here next week.